is a very good afternoon. It's Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. Today we said we'd focus on the referendum. You've only got 4 days to make up your mind. There's a lot of confusion, isn't there? People don't know what durable relationships are. People don't know whether they believe it's out of date and out of touch and it was written back in the 1930s, the Constitution. And should we update it? Do we need to be more progressive and include more people when we talk about the Constitution on a regular basis? Now, on the 8th of March, this coming Friday, Irish citizens will be asked to vote in two referendums, by the way, to change our Constitution. The first referendum concerns the concept of family in the Constitution, and the second referendum proposes to delete an existing part of the Constitution and insert new text providing recognition for care provided by family members to each other. We have two separate votes on whether you wish to make a proposed change to the current text of Article 41 of the Constitution. That's the family referendum amendment. In this proposal and this amendment, there is one vote for two proposed changes. The proposal involves the insertion of an additional text to Article 41.1 and the deletion of the text of Article 41.3.1. These proposed changes are as follows. Proposed change to 41.1.1. The Article 41.1 states, the state recognises the family whether founded on marriage or on other durable relationships. That's the bit they want to insert, as the natural, primary and fundamental unit group of society and as a moral institution processing inalienable and inscribable rights. And superior to all positive law. Proposed change to the Article 41.3.1 by deleting the text below, which says the state pledges itself to guard with special care the institution of marriage, and they want to remove the line which says on which the family is founded, and it goes on to say and to protect against attack. The Care Amendment, by the way, the 40th Amendment of the Constitution, will be given a green-coloured ballot paper, in case you're confused by colours. It proposes deleting the current Articles 41.2.1 and 41.2.2 and inserting a new Article 42B. Now, the original piece, by the way, that was in the Constitution that they want to remove says, in particular, the state recognises that by her life within the home, woman gives to the state a support without which the common good cannot be achieved. 41.2.2 says the state shall therefore endeavour to ensure that mothers shall not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in labour to the neglect of their duties in the home. Those two pieces will be removed. And they propose to replace that with the state recognises that the provision of care by members of the family to one another by reason of the bonds that exist among them gives to society a support without which the common good cannot be achieved and shall strive to support such provisions. So you know now, it's very confusing. I understand a lot of people are very confused. Please look at the leaflet that you would have got in your door probably by now, and it will explain fully what they want to remove, what they want to change. Some people say we should leave it as it is. Other people want to move on and change it because they believe, look, the Constitution was written back in the 1930s. Things have changed a lot since then. Maybe, you know, there was this whole idea that it was a woman's place was in the home, and that's the way they're kind of labelling this. But let's be clear. We want to be abundantly clear. At no point in the Constitution does it ever say a woman's place is in the home. We do understand that in previous times gone by, historically, women were bound to the home, particularly if they were in the public sector workers. But that's not the case now. Remember, of course, women can go out and they can earn a living and they can have careers, and there's nothing actually stopping them doing that. But the Constitution may seem outdated and archaic to some. So do you want to change it? Let us know what you think, by the way. We want to get some callers on this as well. Are you going to be voting yes, no, yes and no, or yes or no to both? Let us know by texting, WhatsApping at 085 122 55. Before we do that, I want to go to Desi Ellis from Sinn Féin, who's representing the yes vote, and also Senator Ronan Mullins, who joins me as well, representing the no vote. Desi, just first to you. Desi, in relation to the Constitution, why particularly are Sinn Féin promoting a no vote? Or yes vote, should I say, when many people are saying, look, this referendum really is not going to make any difference in the big scheme of things?
Well, I think, first off, anything that progresses rights for people is very, very important. And while we don't believe the referendums go far enough, we're asking people to vote yes in both for both proposals. Remember this, that the Oireachtas Committee and the Citizens Assembly done a huge amount of work on this, and they've made a huge amount of recommendations. Now, they have also said it doesn't go far enough, but it's no reason to vote against this because people's rights are being enhanced here.
When you say the Citizens' Assembly made recommendations, they did make recommendations, but the wording that they gave to the government was slightly different to the wording, of course, that we're getting in the Constitution. Many people are saying it was a little bit rushed. For example, I've had many callers on the air and say, well, hold on, I might have thought about this differently if they said, instead of removing the line about which is 41.2.1, about, you know, the woman in the home, so to speak, in particular the state recognises by her life within the home, woman gives to the state, that they would have preferred if that had said woman and man, or father and mother, rather than removing woman and mother from the Constitution altogether. Would that have been a better proposal and clearer to the voters?
Yeah, look, we believe that it could have been worded a lot better. The issue here is now, this is what's in front of us now. What does this do for families? It actually extends in the first proposal, the concept of the family in the Constitution is changed, and it's also recognising that there are single parent families, cohabiting couples, and people who are not married. So it's extending the role of what the definition in the previous in the Constitution as is to extend it further
and to other durable relationships. Yeah.
Yes, to other durable relationships. And I think it's extremely important in this day and age. This Constitution was drawn up in the 30s under De Valera, as you mentioned. So therefore, this is very big progress. And then in the second proposal, it's to delete an existing part of the Constitution and to insert a new text providing for the recognition of care provided by family members to each other. And it was narrowly defined in the previous Constitution of the 30s, where the woman was seen as the main carer. So this is extending to the members of the family the role of carers. Mm.
There's been a lot of controversy around the words durable relationships, Desi, when it comes to families. And I know you're saying we need to extend it to include other families, including single parents or cohabiting couples, etc., etc. But do you understand the word durable relations? Can you define that, durable relationships?
Well, I think a durable relationship is what we see in the modern day is people who are living together. There's people that's been 5, 10, 15, 20 years together. And as it stands in the Constitution, they're not recognised in a proper fashion. To me, that's a durable relationship. A durable relationship is also people who are together and are not married. So I think the definition is you know, the extension of the present position in the Constitution, I think, is extremely important.
Okay, let me just go, if I can, to Independent Senator Ronan Mullins. Ronan, I mean, you know, the word durable relationships obviously is quite controversial. That has been used quite a lot over the last 6 or 7 weeks. But in saying that, Desi Ellis makes the point that, you know, this was written in the 1930s. Times have changed. We need to progress. We need to recognise there are other forms of family units apart from the traditional, you know, man and wife. So is he not right?
Well, Debbie has admitted that the wordings could be better, and I think that Sinn Féin have actually missed an opportunity here to signal to the electorate and to the government that, look, we respect the process more than you do. The people of Ireland get to vote yes or no to change the Constitution, which is the bedrock, it's the foundation for the important laws that have to be passed to secure people's well-being in whatever situation they find themselves. What the government here has done, at the last minute, despite the talk for years about the changes that might be made, at the last minute, they brought forward a wording that they have never discussed over a long period of time with people. They prevented a proper scrutiny of their wording. There was no pre-legislative scrutiny. They got rid of that. They refused to share with the public the feedback that the public gave on the Citizens' Assembly earlier proposals, which, as you said, are quite different from what's before us now on Friday. They refused to share the 64 pages of minutes on the meetings they have had about what these words, including durable relationships, could actually mean and what changes they could cause in people's lives in the future. So this,
but they're saying they've explained this. I mean, I looked at what Roderick O'Gorman had to say yesterday, and they're saying that there's no confusion around this, that a durable relationship, as Desi points out, is a durable relationship. It is, in other words, it's not a traditional relationship. It may be people who have lived together. It may be a single parent family. It may be a same-sex couple who are living together. But, you know, there are two people who share their lives together. And Desi doesn't believe there's any confusion about that, and nor does Roderick O'Gorman.
But fine for them to give their personal opinions, but they have been unable to define what a durable relationship is in the Dáil or anywhere else. We don't know, for example, that if a person expects to inherit property from their spouse, as they can under succession law as a right, as things stand. We don't know the change that might be brought about if in the future somebody's expecting to inherit when the spouse dies and suddenly they discover there was a durable relationship on the side going on all along, and that durable relationship says, hang on, we are a family, a fundamental unit group of society, the same as marriage. Roderick O'Gorman said there'd be no differential treatment between marriage and durable relations. So what you have is potentially poor people forced to go to court in uncertainty about what the courts are just going to decide is their rights against some others who may claim a durable relationship. That kind of uncertainty, it shows no respect for the electorate to come up with a half-cooked wording like this, to suppress all debate about it, to rush it through the Dáil and the Seanad in the way that they did, to hide from the public their own internal discussions about what this might lead to. This was Sinn Féin's great chance to say, we respect the public, we will not give them a pig in a poke like this to vote on in a referendum. And, you know, Devi admits that it's not as good as it could be. What we need to do now is to send a clear message on Friday to the government that they shouldn't waste 20 million the way they've done. It needs to be a no and a no, and then we can look at how to come up with a wording that everybody...
Okay, but let me ask Desi that. Desi, was this not a missed opportunity by Sinn Féin? Because let's be clear, we have seen in the over the weekend, the Business Post again, you know, Sinn Féin's are polling lower than they were 3 years ago now at this stage. So was this not an opportunity, Desi, for Sinn Féin to turn around to the government and say, as the opposition, you know, we're not happy with the wording of this. This is not what the public wanted. Yes, we might need a change in the referendum or in the constitution, but this is not the way it should be changed. Was that not an opportunity missed?
No, we've made it clear that that we don't believe it goes far enough. But that's no reason why you vote against human rights for people who are single parents, they're cohabiting. And what happens when a person who is married separates and divorces? What happens to those when it comes to their rights? So therefore, look, there's no doubt that the Citizens' Assembly say it hasn't gone far enough, and they're saying they'll vote yes. So they're voting for progress. We're saying we have to vote for progress. And so is the Oireachtas Committee. They made recommendations, and obviously they accept that it didn't go far enough.
Sinn Féin have also said, by the way...
The vast majority of groups, including the main carers' associations, are saying the same thing. It doesn't go far enough, but that's no reason why they will vote this down.
But when you say it doesn't go far enough, well, then we don't believe it's right. So would it not be better? I mean, Sinn Féin have said themselves, by the way, if it's a no vote, they're going to rerun the referendum. Although Sinn Féin have said in the past, by the way, rerunning referendums was undemocratic, but they said they're going to rerun this one. So if they are going to rerun it on a no vote, let's say there's a no vote, will they be seeking to change the wording then?
No, we certainly at this stage... the rerunning of a referendum is something that'll have to be discussed. We'll have to see the outcome of this first.
Well, they've already said, Sinn Féin have already said they're going to rerun it if it gets a no vote.
Well, the whole thing is that we will have to look at this again, and we have lots of proposals we make when it comes to carers and families. We have a lot, and we've outlined them in the past, and... For now, the most important thing is to concentrate on this referendum. It advances the rights of people. It advances the rights of carers. It advances the families.
Could we have, Desi,
a more clearer definition of what the family is?
Could we have left in, for example, in relation to, you know, the woman's place and the woman's position in society and her importance in society in Article 41.2.2, could we have left that in and also added in the state recognises the provision of care? But people do have an issue, and I don't know whether you have an issue, with the word strive, which has been brought up on numerous occasions over the last week, that the government more or less by saying, and I'll read it out again, the state recognises the provision of care by members of the family to one another by reasons of bonds that exist among them, give society a support within which the common good cannot be achieved and shall strive to support such a provision. In other words, the government are saying by this particular change is it's up to families to look after each other, and Leo Varadkar verified that when he was speaking on Virgin Media during the week, and not the state, and also the state shall strive rather than putting in a word like a guarantee. Would that have been a better situation?
Well, look, number one, The situation is, in the old Devil era times, the woman's place was in the home, and that's the way Devil era, this constitution was drawn up. That's well outdated, and we need
but
to move on.
But it doesn't say
that,
in fairness. It doesn't actually say that.
But it's very clear that's what it means, and it's
Judge
been
Susan,
very
no,
well
isn't.
Said.
No, that's completely wrong.
No, it is.
Judge,
fairly
Judge
clear.
Susan Denham, and Judge Susan Denham of the Supreme Court Chief Justice pointed out that there was nothing in this wording that in any way disrespected women's various roles in or outside of the home, but it did give them a special advantage that they wouldn't be forced by economic
necessity.
Well,
you've just said it
and
there, that it gives the women a special advantage.
Women, Debbie, on the thread. There's thousands of men and women, Desi, on the treadmill trying to get some kind of a work-life balance, and they actually support the bit of respect that this clause gives mothers in respect of what they do in the home. It should have been extended to fathers. But the question is, why did this have to be rushed? There isn't a single benefit that the government has been able to point to that you actually need this referendum in order to secure. We can legislate and already do for all sorts of situations, married families, other families, and it should have been possible, and we offered a wording that would respect both marriage and what it does for society and family, while also respecting families that weren't based on marriage.
Ronan, it would be fair to say that you can legislate. Of course, you can legislate for cohabiting couples, and you can legislate for single parents, and you can legislate for all the different types of family groups, but in saying that, those families will say, that's fine, all well and dandy, we're legislated for, but we're not recognised in the Constitution. And isn't that the reason
why? Yeah, and I
why?
Think it was, that is a fair question. And as I said, what the government have done on each of these referendum proposals is they've come up to with a very wrong and potentially dangerous answer to what was a reasonable question. It would have been perfectly possible to both signal the family based on marriage and to recognise, because marriage is good for society, there's lots of evidence.
No, I don't tell for a minute it is. Yeah, I've been married twice.
But
I still am.
At the same time, it would have been possible to put in a wording that would have been respectful. But that's not what they've done. What they've done is they've imported this wording that could actually do harm, that could cause a lot of litigation, that could have unforeseen consequences. And they didn't need to do it because there was no immediate problem they had to solve. And what they could have done, instead of spending so much money on a standalone referendum, they could have run a referendum at a later point, more properly considered, maybe the same day as the local and European elections. And they still could, which is why we should send them back to the drawing board. But it's important to signal as well that what they're proposing to do on care is not satisfying care. Desi talks about the different bodies that are supporting this. If you take away the spokespeople from the state-funded political parties and you take out the NGOs that are getting money from the state, like 95% of the money that the National Women's Council gets for its staffing comes from the government, it's actually hard to find any genuinely independent people who are out campaigning for a yes vote on this. And I think that's very significant.
Okay, let me just come back to that in relation to the carers aspect. But hang on, Ronan, for a second, just to be fair to Desi. Let me just come back. Desi, by your own admission, you said obviously it doesn't go far enough. Even carers have stated it doesn't go far enough. And it doesn't seem to go far enough because it doesn't oblige the state to look after anybody. So that wording should have been changed anyway. So again, I ask you, would it not have been more beneficial for Sinn Féin to oppose this and say, okay, we do need a change in the Constitution, as you admitted, and as Ronan admits as well, we do need a constitutional change, but this could be worded far better to include everybody and keep everybody happy with a better chance of getting it over the line.
Well, look, this is not our referendum. This is the government who put this referendum forward. And what we have said is, while it is progress, and there's no doubt that in both cases, it's progress. So do you vote against something that's progress? No, you progress as much as you can.
But this is a permanent change, Desi. But that's kind of like saying, you know, vote yes and we'll fix it later on. That's not really the way we should do things, is it?
No. We are voting on what's there in front of us now. And this is an advancement for families. It's an advancement for carers. It may not go far enough in terms of what...
But I find that mind-blowing, Desi, that you're telling me you're supporting something that doesn't go far enough, or that's not worded correctly, or that doesn't really address the issues.
So you're saying that you shouldn't vote for something that improves the positions of families?
Well, I don't know whether it improves it or not.
Broadens the definition of the family.
Does it improve
and
it?
And it also gives carers... it advances the case for carers. And let's be honest... The vast majority of the main groups, the carers associations, are in favour of this. And I resent anyone saying that these are being bought off. as a result of government funding.
Well, did Roderick O'Gorman himself not say he would be disappointed or would want details as to why any government-funded NGOs were not campaigning for a yes vote? Did he not say that?
The assertion there that groups are being bought off because they're being funded by the state, that is absolutely appalling.
I think the question has to be asked as to whether, you know, the state is indirectly funding the Yes campaign, which it is not supposed to do under the McKenna principles, by having so many state-funded NGOs being the only ones that seems around campaigning. I think what has happened here is that Sinn Féin has actually sided against ordinary people with government and NGO elites. Debbie is presenting this as progress, but that doesn't go far enough. It's not progress. It could do harm. Why would you want to kick the word mother and the word home out of the Irish Constitution when what you should be doing is adding in the word father and parents? When you consider the parents that are on a work treadmill, that are trying to get some kind of work-life balance to be able to care for their children properly at home instead of them being forced out into the workplace all the time. This is an anti-ordinary people proposal, and Sinn Féin shouldn't be supporting it of all groups, given what they claim to represent.
Sorry, Desi, go ahead. You can respond to that, Desi.
Well, look, I made the point. Once this is a progress, it may not go far enough. We certainly believe that you could not vote and otherwise yes and yes in this campaign, because it improves the rights of people. Anything that improves the rights of people is extremely important.
Okay.
And should be supported, and I believe the people of Ireland should support it.
Okay, just finally, hang on, Ronan. Just, can you address the point Ronan made in relation to the McKenna principle? The McKenna principle, of course, means that taxpayers' money cannot be used to fund any side of a referendum. But Ronan is making the claim, as many others, including Michael McDougall and many others, that indeed taxpayers' money is funding NGOs, which indirectly by proxy is funding the Yes campaign. I mean,
I don't accept that. That's like saying that everyone in state-funded positions are being influenced in this referendum. I resent that, and I believe that is outrageous to make that claim.
Well, the claim has been made by numerous politicians.
The political party is getting state money as well, so perhaps we need to look at the whole way in which state money funneled to the political and NGO sector could be corrupting our politics a bit by preventing having proper open discussion of issues. But the McKenna judgment was made for a reason, and that was that when it comes to a referendum, the people should be absolutely sovereign. And Desi Ellis's voice is, or mine, isn't any more important than any other ordinary person's voice. That's been spoiled constantly when you have state-funded NGOs out campaigning. And as I said, it's hard to know whether they are actually free. When you see that somebody like Dr. Tom Clonan, a senator, an independent, parents of a child with disabilities, a strong voice for people with disabilities, who describes this care referendum as a slap in the face, and he's voting no to it. You know, this is the strange thing, that we have this potentially harmful wording going in on durable relationships that could lead to a lot of costly litigation and a lot of uncertainty, but what we should be doing is putting certainty into our law. And you have this carers referendum that gets rid of mothers, that gets rid of home, that shows no respect to parents or their duties. It's not even certain, by the way, when it comes to durable relationships, that it does include single parents. I mean, the government has served us up.
Well, in fairness, Ronan, as the minister said, that would be up to the courts to decide. But then again, the courts are going to be very busy, according to you and according to Senator Michael McDougall and many others as well. But listen, I'll leave you a final word, Desi. You're asking people to vote yes to both this coming Friday. And if indeed there is a no vote, will Sinn Féin be looking for another referendum?
We have to get into government.
But Mary Lou said they would.
Be in government. We'd be in government the next time round, and we'd be the majority party, hopefully. But we will then have to see what people have said and take into account what people have said, and then look at it.
And will you be seeking to change the wording if there is a rerun?
Looking at the rights of carers, and there's a lot of issues when it comes to carers that we believe need to be pushed. So all those issues.
Would you be seeking to reword 41.2.2 in relation to the word mother and woman to have maybe father and man added, if indeed there was a rerun, if there was a no vote?
I think that's number. We will take the advice of the Citizens Assembly. We'll look at all their recommendations, and then we will make considerations on that basis.
A bit of leadership from Sinn Féin would have been nice on this occasion.
Sorry, Ronan.
A bit of leadership from Sinn Féin would have been nice.
We are given leadership, and we have made it very clear.
You're just like the government on this one, not listening to ordinary people, not allowing
listening to ordinary people. I have them daily in my office. I have people daily coming in here.
You don't show any respect for ordinary voters. And you didn't have to come out and back such a half-baked wording like this, Desi. You know, I think you should have stood with the people on this and said the government must not put a question to the people.
The people will decide. Not what you interpret what the people are going to do. We are asking the people to vote for progress, not to drive us back into the 40s.
This is potentially harmful. It's not about the past. Lots of modern people don't like this wording because they think they don't like the uncertainty.
Any change to the Constitution because of
expense.
Your view on the Constitution is dating back to the 40s, and that's your vision. Our vision is a New Ireland with rights as centre.
The thing about this referendum, Niall, it's people of all shades of opinion that are concerned about this and are calling for a no vote. There's a coalition of people who believe that the government has acted very irresponsibly and arrogantly.
And there's a coalition of people. There's an awful lot more people asking for the yes vote.
Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. We'll agree to differ. Sinn Féin and Desi Ellis obviously calling for people to do a yes vote. Senator Roland Mullins and many other independent senators as well calling for a no vote. Listen, thank you very much indeed, gentlemen. I appreciate you both,
Thanks,
Desi and Ronan Mullins. Okay, you've heard. There you go. Never the two shall twain. As they say, you should never bring them together. But Ronan Mullins, I don't think he's living in the 1930s. I think that's a bit of nonsense, to be honest, because Ronan himself, and by the way, Senator MacDool and many others, have said they would be happy with a change of the Constitution, but just not the change that's being currently proposed by the government. Ronan Mullins claims Sinn Féin have missed an opportunity. And missed an opportunity maybe to put a voice to the people, because, of course, we've seen Sinn Féin's polls have slid down over the last 3 years because people believe that they're not being in opposition, that they're just running with the government. Sinn Féin, they want you to vote yes. Although by their own admission and Desi's admission, it doesn't go far enough. The wording is not right. Some carers are not happy about it. So they said if there's a no vote, they're going to do a rerun. But will they do a rerun with the same wording? I doubt it very much, because they probably just get another no. So what will happen on Friday? We won't know. And it's not up to me to try and predict what will happen on Friday. But I can only tell you just from my own Twitter account. But then again, that's an echo chamber, isn't it? I could argue that it probably is an echo chamber because my followers would be similar to me. But we got 9,000 votes on Twitter. 9,000. Now, that's not a scientific sample by any stretch of the imagination, because as I said already, it is my followers. And there's a little bit of an echo chamber in that, because they would be people who would be conservative. I'm a conservative, am I? 9,000 votes, 89% of people said they're voting no to both. 89%. Now, that's not accurate. But it just goes to show you, if there's a low turnout for the referendum and the no voters come out in force, it could be hit and miss. We just don't know. I don't know how this will play out. I've always been good at predicting referendums, I feel. But on this occasion, I don't think I can predict the outcome. But I want to know what you think. We want to get your answers. And of course, because this is not radio, this is a podcast, I will just take the calls on and the order they come on. And I will, by the way, encourage both sides to come on. Yes and no. So if you're voting yes to both, no to both, yes to one, no to the other, please let us know. You should have a fair understanding of what it's all about at this stage, although there is a lot of confusion. I'm not going to lie to you. Let me go to Morris first, if I can. Morris, hi, how are you?
Niall, how are you doing? Everything good? That was a great debate you had on there for a few minutes.
No, thanks very much indeed, Morris. Appreciate it. So, Morris, how would you be voting?
I'll be voting no. I've read both sides of it, and there's my wife's phone ringing in the background.
Yeah. I thought you were a Sinn Féin man.
To me, I know I'm a Republican. It doesn't mean I have to go with a party. I believe in me flag. I honour the flag because I'm an ex-military man. That flag means the world to me.
But I thought you were. I think in the last election, you told me you were a Sinn Féin supporter. You were voting for Sinn Féin.
Well, you know, there are alternatives to the crowd that's in at the moment. The three-headed snake that stole the election, Fianna Fáil, Fianna Gael, and the Graham. You know, who are they to be running the country? Well, I'll tell you one thing. I admire them. Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil set up the Green to give them the worst portfolios. They're standing out as the worst ministers ever in the country. Who'll get the flack in the next election? The Greens will be gone, and who'll be left with their fat pensions? Fianna Gael and Fianna Fáil. So we'll be voting no, because they don't care about the women of Ireland. They don't care about the children of Ireland. They'd rather see them emigrate and give them a future here. They don't care about families with special needs. I marched on the streets of Dublin 40 years ago to get my autistic son an education, and nothing has changed. Mm-hmm. And my wife is his carer, you know? And he's doing his best as much as he can. But if you have a child at home that has epilepsy, Down syndrome, and all sorts of other medical conditions, this country doesn't give a crap about you because they're taking away your right as a woman and as a mother and as a carer. So we'll be voting no for those people. Because if every mother that's a carer in this country said to the state, come into my home and take my child into care, you look after them, the country would be bankrupt.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. By the way, there was a case, I can't talk about it too much, obviously, because it was meant to be before the Supreme Court on the 12th of this month. But mind you, if there's a no vote in the referendum, that's the end of that case. And that's the case of a mother who lost her carer's allowance for a disabled child who needs 24-hour care because her husband is earning slightly over the threshold. She lost €80 off her carer. So she has bypassed the High Court, went straight to the Supreme Court for the Supreme Court to make a judgment. Now, if the Supreme Court made a judgment on that particular case, it could cost the state an awful lot of money. So people are saying, is it more than a coincidence they're running this referendum 3 days before she's supposed to be, or 4 days before she's supposed to be in court?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No, exactly.
Because if there's a yes vote in this referendum, that makes that case null and void.
I wouldn't mind. I met a minister that's involved in this referendum at the weekend, and basically any questions I ask him, oh, we didn't know about that, oh, we don't know about that, to my face and to my wife's face. I questioned them and I asked them. And he honestly turned around and said, well, actually, I don't know about that. But
quite shocking, isn't it, that any minister or TD would be asking you to vote yes or no and not have a clue about what they're asking you to vote for, but how and ever.
The local supermarket, Noel. Thanks.
All right. Thanks indeed, Morris. Appreciate you coming on the air. Let me go to John. John, hi. How are you?
No, I'm just on my way. You know, it's a bad day, right? I'm just on my way to Mallow, County Cork, where there's a donkey sanctuary, right?
Yeah.
And I'm going to purchase a donkey. I've been bringing the donkey back up to Mallow Road into Cork and into my house. And I'm going to declare him or her part of my durable relationship. And I want it recognised by the state.
Well, you never know. It could be. You might have to go to court to declare that one, by the way. But it does But the durable relation thing certainly has confused people, because a lot of people have different views of what a durable relationship is. Not even the state seems to know what a durable relationship is, because they said that'll be up to the courts to determine. So maybe you and your donkey could appear before the judge.
Well, this is it, like, you know. But we can, well, let's be honest, suppose you could stretch that out and say the law's an ass anyway, so how would that play out?
Yeah, absolutely. So John, you're voting no then to both.
I am, and I'm not voting no just to be awkward, even though I believe there is a handy percentage of the electorate. This is the first chance they have to give the government a kicking on the back of what's happening. We all know the main topic that's consuming everybody's mind and lips at the moment is the amount of people pouring into this country. And I think a percentage of the electorate, rightly or wrongly, will use this to kick the government. I predict that there'll be no vote on both. I don't see why any government parties or oppositions, when a referendum is called, as Morris has said, 20 million for this one, nobody was looking for it, right? Now it's on our doorstep. But just like the abortion, they all came out and backed the yes side that time. They're doing the same this time. The idea of a referendum is the people decide. So why does any government party or parties or so-called opposition, right, have the right to come out and promote one side over the other? The only party in Dáil Éireann is into that is promoting a no side. Everybody else. Holly Curtin's ran for cover this morning. She refused to come on local radio. And she's promoting this side. They have no confidence in their own argument.
Can I say, to be fair, now, This is not my radio show. This is my podcast, which is slightly different. On the radio show, mm-hmm. I've avoided talking about the referendum for very obvious reasons, right? Because I would be seen to be biased because I'm obviously a bit conservative.
Of course,
I've decided to only talk about it on the podcast. On the podcast, we did make every single effort on, and, you know, we have contacted by email all the political parties. We contacted numerous campaigners for yes, and none of them have either replied or they've come back to us and said, no, nobody's available. So we have given everybody the opportunity, as we did with Desi Ellis today, to be fair. I wanted to give them the opportunity to come on, and Sinn Féin the opportunity to come on and to campaign for their yes vote. I don't know whether what you thought of that particular interaction between Desi and Ronan. But I do believe that.
The contribution there by Desi Ellis was ridiculous, because his own party leader, who criticised Bertie Herdman, who dragged the Irish people back the second time they
bought they said it was anti-democratic.
And now they're going to rerun the bloody thing again if they get into power and if they get an overall majority. What I find
bizarre is Desi, by his own admission, said that Sinn Féin are not happy with the wording. They don't believe it goes far enough. They're not happy with the carers part of it.
But yet they're supporting it. Could they not have said
to the government, well, let's not have the referendum and let's change the wording. Come back to us in a couple of months when you fix the wording. Why didn't they say that?
There's something, though, that people, I haven't heard people say this, right? Now, people that have chosen just to live together, not to have a religious ceremony, not to have a civil ceremony by the state, right? Just are living together, which there are thousands of people now listening to this and right around the country to stay, right? They are now going to be dragged into something that they didn't go looking for, that they don't want, which is their relationship is now going to be described as a durable relationship. They didn't go looking for that.
No, they certainly did not. John, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to get through loads of callers. Thank you very much indeed for that, John. I've got to play some of your WhatsApp messages as well. Let's play with just one or two of these here. Hold on for you.
The government could look after carers and people with disability in the morning with a stroke of a pen. We don't need constitutional change to do that. So we should not be voting yes on this referendum on Friday. And Desi is completely wrong. There's many, many disability groups out there that are calling for a no vote.
All right. People not happy, thinking Sinn Féin are kind of not voting with the people or not siding with the people. Let me just go to Madeline if I can. Madeline, hi, how are you?
I'm good, Niall. Boiling over, listening to some of the comments there, but all good.
Yeah, yeah. So you're voting no to both?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, I was in speaking at the rally at the Garden of Remembrance yesterday.
I did see your video.
I was very proud of that, and I got terrific feedback, and the amount of people that were in there yesterday, people that are involved in carers, involved with disabilities, and saying that they felt that this whole change in the articles would completely compromise them. They've little enough rights now, and they absolutely full sure they will have less rights if these articles are to change.
Let me ask you a question. If the wording was different, Madeline, let's say, for example, when we talk about Article 41, 2.1, which talks about the woman's place and the woman and how the state would support women for the common good, if that article had been changed, say, to represent both men and women, or parents, as they might say, would you have been happier and probably voted yes?
No, because I don't think the articles need changing at all. I mean, even though the Constitution was written in 1937, I think it was very progressive and is still progressive. What they're talking about now is complete regression. We should honour mothers at home, and many polls have been done.
But should we not just honour parents at home? And I'm not saying it just for the sake of it. Okay. I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, I probably object to the removal of it altogether. But the idea that we, you know, maybe we could have updated it to represent, because nowadays, of course, there are many stay-at-home dads as well as stay-at-home mums, which there wouldn't have been in 1937.
I was just going to get to that point.
Yeah.
Daddies, all the daddies I know around the country don't need to be mentioned in the referendum to know they have a responsibility to mind their children and co-parent. It doesn't need to be written. It doesn't need to be written, because we don't need to see it in print. As a matter of fact, nobody even knew about these articles.
Well, it's not about having it in print. It's about how we form legislation, because legislation, you know, the Constitution is the basis for all our legislation. So, for example, I mentioned that there's meant to be a Supreme Court case on the 12th of this month in relation to carers. Now, that case probably won't go ahead if this is a yes vote. I don't know how that all works. I'm not the legal mind, but certainly it won't assist the person taking that case. So in saying that, the same would apply in that particular case, that if we have a case where, you know, for the state should therefore endeavour to ensure that mothers, could we not have said mothers and fathers shall not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in labour to neglect the duties of their home?
Maybe I would have read it differently with the word fathers, but I just think at the moment we have been, mothers and women have been protected. Daddies know their responsibility to be at home. And actually, now we spoke about this before. Mm. They could have looked at the constitution to make it work better for mothers at home with better tax incentives, because yep. most mothers want to be at home. Most mammies don't want to leave their
over 80% of women, by the way, in a recent poll, over 80% of working women said they would prefer to be at home with their children if money wasn't an issue.
And that's exactly where they should be. And I've gone as far as to say, and I know this is going to
be. Let's not terrible. Say they should be, because some just don't want to be, and that's fine too.
Mammy, as you just said, 90% of mothers do want to be at home.
And over 80%.
They need their mothers. Children need their mothers. Of course, they need their fathers as well. But that bond between a mother and a baby is essential for the growth of the world. It's just essential.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to, stay there for a second. Let me go to Dave. Dave, hi, how are you doing?
What's the crack?
As a stay-at-home dad, would you like to have been recognised in the Constitution, by the way?
Actually, look, it'd be nice. It's nice to get the old nod every now and again, isn't it? personally, you know, no, pat on the back from my local TV would be nice too. No, but in seriousness, I'm going to preface, before I say anything, I personally think this referendum is a monumental waste of time and money. I really do.
20 million euro, yeah.
Yeah. Imagine now if you'd have funneled that 30 million into services for, oh, I don't know, kids with special needs. You know, imagine the good it would have done. Mm. I mean, like, it's just, I don't really understand why most people didn't even know these articles in the Constitution even existed up until a little while. There's too much skullduggery.
Well, people did. I've always known, you know, it was always that, oh, you know that line about the women in the house? That's how it was just kind of referred to, you know? We kind of knew it was there, but it made no difference. I find it hilariously funny that both former female presidents, Mary McAleese, in particular, mentioned the other day on our Twitter account, you know, about this idea that it stopped women from progressing. And I said, that's a bit hypocritical. No, you saying that you're the president of the country. You couldn't have got any further if you asked. Yeah, like, if you tried.
Yeah, exactly. She was the president of the country back in the 90s.
Mary Robinson. Yes.
Yeah, and Mary Robinson. Do you know what I mean?
So it didn't stop them. It didn't keep them in the home.
No, and we've had some fairly fierce, you know, female politicians. I mean, look, I'm no fan of Sinn Féin, but Mary Lou, fair play to the woman. She's able to hold her own. You know, so I think it's insulting to women to say. Like, it's almost like if it's voted, we vote no, the Gestapo are going to be going calling around every house to make sure the woman's chain just reaches as far as the sink in the bedroom. Like, I mean, even the guy you had on there, he couldn't make a decent argument towards the end because the other guy was ripping him apart. And then he was like, oh, you just want to go back to the 30s where a woman's place was in their home. That seems to be the default argument in all this. I mean, if they had to change it to mothers, fathers, single-sex couples,
I don't know why people you keep using that line, you know, and the Yes campaigners particularly use that line, a woman's place is in the home, that this outdated line.
Do you know what it is?
It doesn't actually say that. I do believe that the Constitution always has to keep changing because it is a living document.
Of course,
as they
call. Yeah, we updated like to go with as society progresses.
But that's fine. But to say that the state shall therefore endeavour to ensure that mothers shall not be obliged by economic necessity to engage in the labour of the neglected duties in their home, and it says the state recognises that by her life within the home, woman gives to the state a support without which the common good cannot be achieved. I think that's a really nice line, by the way.
For something that was written in the 1930s, that was progressive. It was.
Oh, of course it was.
But there's so many other things. Like, you have the fact that they won't release any of the information about, like, the talks they've had about it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I personally find that insulting.
The public submissions, yeah. Yeah.
The consultations from the...
Mm-hmm. NGOs.
From other groups. Yeah. They won't release any of that. It's all we'll tell you when it's all over.
When it's all over.
And the part that I really, really, really don't like as well is when it says the state, you know, the part about the state striving to provide help for carers. I mean, why couldn't they just put the state must provide help for carers?
Well, they couldn't do that. That would cost too much money to do that.
There you go. And again, you know what? There's a part of me is like, this is it as well. And for a lot of other people, we're just sick to our back teeth of being pontificated at by a bunch of overpaid gobshites who know less about the real world than a fucking cartoon character does. So a lot of them are going to be protest votes, and they're going to be up yours. We're not going to do what you ask.
Madeline, what do you think? What if you were to predict the result on Friday, what do you think it would be?
I think it's going to be a no. And can I just say...
It's kind of hard to tell because, and I'm not being insulting to either one of you, but I suppose the groups you surround yourselves with, and even I would be the same. I feel the same way because I feel sometimes I'm in an echo chamber because I surround myself with people who kind of agree with me sometimes. So it's kind of hard to tell, isn't it?
Well, I have listened and spoken to people who would be way more educated and knowledgeable than me on the law and the constitution. And apparently the ramifications, if this vote was to get in, will be abysmal.
For taxes, yes. Yeah.
For everything, the whole thing about the illegal immigration. Now, this is not me saying this. This is me speaking to people.
For family
who,
reunification you're talking about, yeah.
Absolutely. And I just, I'm furious at the likes of Mary Lou MacDonald. She speaks about reintroducing this referendum like we're all thick if we get this wrong.
She said they would run it again. But now that's why I was trying to get out of Desi Ellis. If they did run it again, would they be seeking to change the wording?
No, he didn't. He didn't commit to that. And I was a bit disappointed listening to Desi today because I always thought he was a man of the people. But to listen to Mary Lou MacDonald say, we will be running this again. Does she know something we don't know? Are they already in government? And I felt it was very insulting to Irish people to say that, and she more or less said, if you get this wrong, we'll be running again until we get the answer we want. And I thought it was very insulting. And that's not democratic.
Well, Sinn Féin were the very ones who said many years ago it was undemocratic to rerun a referendum. And it is, by the way, it is undemocratic to rerun a referendum because you've just asked the people already. And now you're going to ask them again. Are you sure?
I'm not. Well, I personally found that very insulting. And I just think for the future of the country and the world, we depend on the matriarchal structure within the family unit to make any sense of what is going on at the moment. Mothers' places are with their children, not necessarily in the home, but it's with their children. And the government over the years, and as I said, we've spoken about this, should have made it easier for women to stay at home. And it doesn't block you from having a career. I was a stay-at-home mother until my children went to secondary school. I went out then and had a 25-year-long career. So it does not stop women doing anything they want to do because they're the most powerful beings on the planet.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. By the way, I will give priority to anybody who wants to come on and say they're voting yes, because I want to be fair. I don't want to just have the show loaded with no voters, but that's the way it seems to be. Everybody texting in is telling me no. Let me know what you think. The number, by the way, is 085-122-55. That's 085-122-55. Let us know, what way are you voting? There's the number on the screen, 085-122-55. All right, tell us what way you're voting, okay? Because we need to know. Let me go to Joe. Joe, hi, how are you doing, Joe?
Not too bad, Niall. Good afternoon. How are you? It's lash and rain here in Cork. It is. It's terrible, the weather.
Oh, right. Okay. Always a good Irish start to a conversation, isn't it?
Indeed, yeah.
So, exactly. Joe, how are you voting?
Well, I think, Niall, you know, I've said it to you many times over the last couple of weeks, I'll be voting no.
No.
With a capital N on both. Even before this referendum was even brought up, I wouldn't have supported it anyway, because you know my views. This is a Green Party agenda, which has been backed and by certain political establishments, MGOs, and every Tom, Dick and Harry in the well-to-do society of this country. I would not support it. And I tell you something else. Like yourself, I am hoping that it will be defeated. But I think it's going to be very unpredictable what's going to happen, because, you know, I don't trust anybody in this country except for yourself now and Ben Scannell and probably one or two others who speak the truth in this country. And I was listening to your interview there a while ago with Desi Ellis. Like, with respect now, Desi Ellis, he hasn't even been seen or heard of for the last couple of years, and all of a sudden he's coming out now talking as if he's...
Well, he's not coming out and talking. We asked him to come on, in fairness.
Yeah.
He didn't just ring in,
We did
ask him to come on. No, but in fairness, I mean, obviously Desi has to be, he has to, you know, come from this party point of view. I get that. I understand that. You know, I think Ronan is a very educated man as well. I don't agree with Desi that Ronan is stuck in the 1930s. you know?
Well, that's an insult. That's an insult to a lot of traditional families. And this is the problem in this country, Niall. You have the woke lefties in this country coming down ton of bricks on people who have a different view than what they do. And it proved it at the weekend again. There was another lefty. I'm not going to name her name now, but you know who I'm on about us very well.
Mm.
She was writing on the Herald, as I used to call it, the Evening Herald.
Yeah.
And she was proclamating, she must have been bought off anyway, because she was saying that people who don't vote yes are making a big mistake, that they're out of touch with reality. You know?
Well, that's it, Dave. You're out of touch with reality. You're making a big mistake.
Yeah.
Who, me?
Yeah, you're out of touch with reality. According to the papers, you're out of touch with reality if you're voting no.
Do you
spend any time in the real world? I try to be as out of touch with reality as much as I can whenever I get a chance.
Yeah.
That's the way we're being treated, Niall. Well, as I say, Niall, like yourself, I'm hoping that it will be defeated, but I'm like you. I'm just kind of I'm not going to call it, because you know my view. This could be all rigged, for all you know.
Oh, we're going down the Donald Trump route now.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, well. But by the way, I find it difficult to predict the outcome of the referendum, because I see, as I said already, I surround myself with people like you and Dave and Morris to be on the minute, and Maliki and other people, you know, I surround myself with those type of people. So all those people are kind of voting no. So
no,
is
Niall,
it, yeah,
Niall,
yeah. Sorry, Dave.
No, come here. Like my own friend group, or the people I'm surrounded by, like I'd probably be leaning more towards the purple haired hippie side of the political spectrum than you would. But like, I have friends who are more conservative, people are liberals, people who don't really consider themselves political in any way, shape, or form. And the general consensus is no, because there's just, first of all, there's so much mistrust. Then people are really kind of iffy about, like, why is this being run? So, like, when you consider all the referendums we've had, you've had months and months and months, television debates here and there. This feels like it's just snuck up on everybody.
Yeah.
So personally, I think there's going to be a fairly low turnout for this.
But I don't know about a low turnout, but I certainly believe that a lot of people are voting who may not fully understand it. And that's a big problem with this referendum, by the way.
Most people don't understand
this
referendum.
A lot of people don't understand it, okay? So there's a lot of confusion. And I think a lot of people will vote no out of confusion. And a lot of people will vote no out of protest just against the government. In other words, I spoke to a mate of mine the other day who's an absolute lefty, right? But said to me that he's voting no on both just to annoy the government. So, yeah. Because he hates the government, right? And I also then, for the show today, you know, we rang two of our biggest lefties and who are not coming on, right? But they said, and both of them said, they don't even know how they're voting. They haven't decided yet.
So you have your token lefties.
And there are two biggest lefties, and they don't know how they're voting. So if the biggest lefties I know, you know, who will come on and, you know, say that men can become women and you can call people by pronouns and all, and they're the kind of lefties, you know, we would ring every now and again just to get the lefty view on things. If they're even saying they don't know how to vote, well, then we've got a problem, haven't we?
Yeah, but if you're confused about a referendum, just vote no. I mean, it can always be run again. Like, I was like, if the word in this was different, I'd probably be on the S side. You know, if they mentioned
fathers,
you know,
and
like
mothers, yeah.
Fathers, mothers, you know, but
parents.
There's a lot of well-educated people. No, I'm not even just saying for the likes of me, but there's grandparents out there who mind children for whatever reason. You know what I mean? You have same-sex couples. Like, it's very easy to add in wording that would basically just highlight the different strata of Irish society and then say the state must, you know, instead of strive, the state must provide care for carers and people that needed care. If that was the crack, I probably would have voted yes, but there's too much of it left open to interpretation. And once it's in the Constitution, if we're not happy, do you think they'll run another one again? I don't really think so.
Mm. I wonder, but if it's a no vote, they'll run it very quickly again. If it's a yes vote, they won't, obviously. We'll stay there for a second. Let me just go to Morris. Morris, hi, how are you?
Good, thanks, Niall.
Good. Morris, how would you be voting?
I'll be voting no in both. I'm very concerned with the implications of both referendums.
Yeah.
Especially the one about the durable relationships, because all I can see is you'll have a lot of people saying coming into the country who, let's say, for instance, in Nigeria, there's a councillor Fianna Fáil councillor whose dad in Nigeria had about 10 wives or something, over 100 children. Or
I'm not familiar with the story, so let's not discuss it, but yeah. I don't know the story.
I saw it on Twitter. She's
well, then it must be true if you saw it on Twitter. No, yeah, I'm just saying, let's not go into individual stories, but I get the point that you're making about family reunification. Yes.
Yeah, so you'll have a situation where a pile of people will be able to get into the country because of...
a durable relationship, yeah.
Yeah, and the Law Society is for it because they're going to get a pile of money out of it. Because they're like, whenever I see the Law Society backing something, it's not for the Irish people. It's only for themselves. It's the same way with the people.
Yeah, but of course, there'll be lots of court cases. They'll be busy.
And like, this money is being wasted on a stupid referendum that no one wants.
You're saying it's stupid. Some people don't think it's stupid. Some people are all for it.
If the constitution said that I was a gobshite, I couldn't care less as long as it doesn't affect me. You know what I mean? But these morons.
I think there is an article Is it Article 37(1)(4) says Morris is a gobshite.
But like this is like what about people with scoliosis? Like that 20 million could have helped a lot of people. The 200 people.
Yeah, no, I agree. Scoliosis. I agree. It does seem like an incredible waste of money for something that really isn't very clear.
Like, if you want referendums, would it affect people?
Your line is breaking up there, Morris. Say that again.
If they wanted to improve people's lives by running referendums, fix the divorce referendum. Why not make prenuptial?
Yeah, I mean, I've spoken before about the divorce referendum and the legislation in this country around divorce. It needs to be changed. Divorce needs to be full and final. And maybe, yes, you're right, prenuptial agreements maybe could be brought in. I don't know whether you need to put that in the Constitution or not, by the way.
One important point I'll make before...
Your line is awful, Morris, whatever room you're in there. Sorry, it's just going up and down. Hard to hear you. Oh, we've lost them all together there now. Let me go to Malachy Steenson. Malachy, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Niall.
Good afternoon, Malachy. I mean, obviously you're voting no, and you're encouraging others to vote no as well. It would be fair to say, Malachy, that you're in an echo chamber, as am I. So it's kind of hard to predict the outcome, because when I look around and I see, you know, your average person walking up and down Grafton Street or O'Connell Street, you know, they're not tuned into Twitter every single day. They're not tuned into the news every single day, most likely. And, you know, they would be apathetic about it. So we don't really know how it's going to go.
Well, fortunately, most of the people you bump into walking up and down O'Connell Street today would be non-nationals who don't have a vote in this referendum, thankfully.
Okay.
And congratulations to Madeleine on a fabulous speech yesterday as well.
Yep, I heard it.
And I think, you know, if you listen to the debate between Roland Mullen and Desi Ellis didn't appear to have any coherent arguments and was just, you know, coming out with...
His argument was he wanted people to vote yes because he believed it was a progressive step forward.
Well, the least convincing of people to do that. And when you asked him, for instance, what was a durable relationship, he said, oh, well, somebody in a relationship for 10 to 15 years, that is not defined anywhere. He might as well have said 2 years. He might as well have said
The pamphlets that they sent around to people's houses said 2 years, didn't it?
Well, you see, the reality is that...
It said a durable relationship, according to the government, a durable relationship is a permanent relationship, although it doesn't have to be romantic, a permanent relationship for more than 2 years.
Niall, if you look at Jerry Springer, a durable relationship could be a one-night stand in today's climate. There is no definition for it.
But a lot of times, Malachy, and I'm not just giving you this argument because I just want to be trying to be a little bit balanced if I can. A lot of times when we do make changes in the Constitution, some of those changes have to be tested by the courts. That's quite common, isn't it?
Well, no, it's not. Because what we do is we change the Constitution after the Supreme Court says that something is not covered or is covered or needs to be changed. This is what happened with the whole abortion thing after the X case when there was an amendment to the Constitution then. Or it was interpreted in a certain way, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't consciously put in things, because remember, it's not the poor people who'll be able to go to court to find these things out. It'll be wealthier people who'll have to take the challenge, or funded by NGOs who are not going to fund anything in this regime. But let's just look at what the Constitution does say. And people keep rabbiting on about women being chained to sinks and all of this nonsense. Why the devil era put in that the provision that women should not have to work outside of the home for economic reasons. And people need to put their minds back to the 1930s.
But you can also argue that women who worked in the civil service or the private sector or the public sector, should say, weren't allowed to work.
Hold on, that's nothing to do with the Constitution. Nothing whatsoever to do with the Constitution. Right, and I'll come back to that in a minute. In the 1930s, when this Constitution was being debated in the Dáil, the reasons for putting in that women out of economic necessity should not have to work outside of the home was to protect working class mothers who are having to work in factories on assembly lines for very little pay. It was the wealthy women who could stay at home, or the middle class women who could stay at home and not have to go out and work, you know, to because of necessity. And if you look at the bar on the marriage bar, as it was called, which has gone since the 1970s.
Well, I know
when
that.
We were children that right now, right? And that only applied to people who worked from the banks and the civil services. In the case of the civil service, it was government policy. In the case of the banks, it was bank policy. If a woman was working in a shop or any normal job, and nobody in my area, Niall, at that time, in the 1970s, worked for either the civil service or the banks, they were excluded from those roles. So it didn't affect, by and large, working class communities. It affected the middle classes. And eventually that was done away with. But nothing in the Constitution made that happen. That was government policy. And it wasn't a bar on all women working. It was a bar on women working after they got married in certain professions. And that was not even legislation. It was just the way things were done. And that has gone since the 70s. So if we go back and say everything that's gone, you know, for 40, 50 years now at this stage, we've somehow come back and this is a bit like the arguments on that we're responsible for slavery 300 years ago. You know, it's nonsensical. And this does not, I mean, if they were to wait, and one of the reasons they brought this referendum this week rather than next month is because they are petrified of the decision which is likely to come in the Supreme Court in relation to carers' allowance. That is why they're bringing it. Mm-hmm. You know, and they pontificate about, oh, we're bringing it on International Women's Day. Well, let me say this to anybody who votes yes on Friday. They should not be then hypocritical and buy their mother a bunch of flowers on Monday or on Sunday. Because they have just destroyed everything a mother stands for if they vote yes. And, you know, you talk about echo chambers and all of that. And, you know, we do live in echo chambers to
we
some
do.
Extent. And
of course we do. I mean, Malik, I put up a Twitter poll and there was 9,000 votes on it. Mind you, it was a bit weird that it was exactly 9,000. I don't know how Twitter works that one out. But anyway, there was 9,000 votes and 89% said they're voting no to both. Now, to me, that doesn't seem accurate to me.
What I can say, Niall, is that people who I would not normally put on our side of the fence have indicated to me in the past period that they're voting no. Somebody mentioned the Law Society there earlier. The Law Society came out in support of this referendum, as they've done in all of the other referendums. They did not ask one member of the Law Society, and I'm a member of the Law Society. You have to be as a solicitor, and it cost me $2,500 a year. And I'm glad to see that a solicitor who sits on the family law panel in the Law Society, Gareth Noble, resigned from that committee today because of the actions of the Law Society and not even consulting its members in relation to this issue.
So in other words, you're saying they don't speak on your behalf. Okay, we'll stay there, Maliki, just for a second. Hang on, Maliki, just to be fair, because I want to go. No, hang on, Maliki. I want to go to Clarity if I can. Maliki, I'll come back to you. Clarity, hi, how are you?
Hi, Niall. No,
good. I'm sorry we tried to get you a little earlier there, but your phone number's got it with. Okay, so you're voting yes. Thank God. You're voting yes to both. Explain to me why you're voting yes to both.
I mean, I take the example as a person who just got Irish citizenship. I think it's important that the Constitution reflects the state of the country as it exists today. So when you take out words like women entirely, and when you add concepts like durable relationships, it allows it to expand and reflect what Irish society is actually looking like today. And there's potential for laws and statutes going forward that could potentially benefit from it. And family dynamics, they don't look like the same way that they used to. So I think it's just an acknowledgement of the state that family dynamics have changed.
Is the word durable relationship not kind of diluting what a family is actually really about? But that's what a lot of people are confused by, that a durable relationship could essentially be anything. You know, you and, you know, one of your buddies could be in a durable relationship.
me and my dog. I mean, if you look at the impacts of what it is, so let's just say I'm in a throuple and or some other family constellation, and then both parents of a child dies. What is that third party that's co-raised that child entitled to in the state today? And currently it's up to the individual judges to determine.
But do you believe, an extreme version, obviously, yeah. The throuple, and they were asked about this in the talk. Do you believe that people in a throuple should have the same rights in the Constitution as, say, a man and woman who are married?
I mean, what's the purpose of marriage in the first place? Is to create future members of society and children and create a structure in which to raise them. We're not a theocracy anymore, right? The government and the church are separate entities. And therefore, the sanctity of a marriage in the traditional Catholic way is less important today. It's not a reflection of what society is actually doing, but the dynamics of people raising children for the purpose of making society better and continuing future generations is a core interest.
Okay, let me give you an example. Let's say two people who are married, they fall out of love and they decide we're going to get separated and divorced. Now, as you know, in Ireland, it can take 5 years to be separated and divorced in this country, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yes.
So in the interim, they're still living in the same house, but they're not really in love and they're just sleeping in separate rooms and they're raising their children. So the man decides, I want another relationship because I'm missing the old bit of hunky-dory. So he goes off and he finds another woman and, you know, he's sharing houses. He's in between the two. So she's essentially, but under the law, she's his mistress. She's not actually his wife. But let's say he pops his clogs and he owns half the house the children are living in. He's now in a durable relationship with the new woman, as well as being in a marriage, still in a marriage, with the old woman. So, or the older woman. So they both have rights to his estate under this constitutional change. Would you not agree?
Yeah, absolutely. But
is that right?
Is it right? Is it fair? If she has a child as well that's sired by him, then yes, the child needs care and protection. And currently, as the law exists, it would just be the actual in-law wife that would be entitled to the rights and the benefits, and then she would need to go to court, be up to the individual discretion of a judge as to whether the mistress or third party, whoever it is, that's not legally binded, if their child that they created together are entitled to the benefits. I know we're talking in edge cases here because this is when it's going to apply. Otherwise, generically, it doesn't change really anything functionally for people. So is it fair? Is it right? Again, I go back to the concept of what marriage is about, which is the creation of children and the support of each other.
Okay, in relation to the other referendum, which is about the woman and, you know, the state giving support to a woman without which the common good couldn't be achieved, a lot of people suggested at the time, okay, maybe that's a little bit outdated. Some people might think it's outdated and said, okay, could we not have just changed that to, you know, where we change the wording to woman and man gives to the state and then talk about mothers and fathers? Could we not have just done that rather than removing the whole thing altogether and giving no protection to either?
I mean, I agree. Like, I understand what you're saying. It's a bit of a virtue signal, which is to gender neutralize it and remove it entirely, which is that whomever stays
parents
home,
even use the word parents or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's also other use cases, you know, or other scenarios. Like, it's not just the mother and the children. It could be in a case of a disabled elderly relative or something. As I understand that these edge cases could come up and this would be beneficial to have gender neutral terminology. I mean, this is actually how the Constitution changed in America. It was changed because a male was a long-term carer for a disabled elderly relative, and the state that he lived in was not able to provide benefits to him because the law said exclusively that only women could change, be the carers of elderly or more disabled relatives. And so that was actually the landmark case that went to the Supreme Court that changed the law. And Ireland, to my knowledge, and again, I'm not a legal expert, but I have done a bit of research on this. When we have those kind of cases, there is, as the law is written today, that person could be denied benefits. Now, I don't think that happens a lot because the judges in this country tend to be quite sensible, but it's a nod to the fact that gender roles don't determine who stays at home and who takes care of who.
Okay, but do me a favor, Clarity, stay there. And Malik, you've been listening to what Clarity says. Sorry, Joseph, I'll be with you in a second, and Eddie. Malik, you've been listening to what Clarity says. I wanted to give her a fair bit of time there, to be fair to the yes side, because most people on today have been saying no. And I just, by the way, I've just, on that note, I texted another one of my extreme lefty friends. And he says, no, sorry, I couldn't come on, missed your call there, but I'm voting no anyway. So that wouldn't be much use to me. I mean, Malachi, Clarity is voting yes because of obviously her experience when she was living in the United States, that she's seen, you know, the flaws in the Constitution. And, you know, I mean, the Constitution is old, Malachi.
Well, Niall, I mean, I listened to Clarity there, and she certainly didn't live up to her name there and any of the things she raised. And you brought the issue of, you know, this guy living separated but living in the same house and having another partner outside. She threw in the thing about having a child and to try and muddy the water, and that's not what you were talking about. And that child would have rights under the Succession Act to the assets of the father. So, I mean, that's a nonsense when she ran that argument. But what it does, and I mean, what I would say in your
case... But they are kind of red herring arguments. I do admit the red herring arguments.
No, there would be nothing to stop that man or the woman bringing in the third party into the home. He wouldn't need to get another flat. And these are all things that will have to be determined by courts down the road. And it takes years for that to happen. And you're throwing confusion in and creating confusion where there's none. And what the CARE amendment does, and she touched on this when she talked about older people, it's shifting the burden from the state onto families and onto people to look after their own. Now, there's a moral argument that people should do that anyway, but and most people do. But it takes away any responsibility from the state because the state is only going to strive to help you. There's no obligation there. And I listened to Simon Harris's sound bites there when he said, oh, well, grandparents rather than a grandchild aren't recognised. That's a nonsense. Another red herring of an argument. I'm a grandparent rather than a grandchild. I'm no lesser of a family. And most grandparents are married. You know, because...
Okay, but let me just put that to clarity quickly. Hang on. Clarity, the wording of the Constitution or the new amendment to the Constitution says the state shall strive to support the provision. I mean, that doesn't really put much onus on the state. And it also says, by the way, the state recognises that the provision of care by members of a family to one another by reason of bonds. In other words, they're really passing the buck. So people are saying this wording is awful. I mean, it should have said, for example, guarantee to support provision or whatever, or something like that, rather than strive. Strive means nothing. So why would anybody want to vote for something that's not even correctly worded?
Yeah, and I hear that point. It's a concern I have as well. So I think the removal of gender and the addition of durable, the non-typical family constellations is really important. I do think there is a risk in saying strive because it seems like the state is exonerating itself from its responsibility to those who are going to be income in the event of death or whatever in those kinds of scenarios.
So
I do think it's
yes
a bit dangerous. Because I think it's a step in the right direction, right? No constitution is ever complete. But
hold
at
on,
least
state,
it's not
the
in the right direction.
Already obliged. Hold on, the state is obliged already to look after our sick and our elderly and people who need health care, right? They're obliged to do that.
Yeah.
And you want to now have them strive to do that, which is a lesser form of, it's not an obligation, it's lesser. And if you were concerned about gender and making the Constitution gender neutral, why are you not arguing, for instance, where the Constitution speaks of the president, it talks about he, where it talks about ministers and the government, it talks about he. Why are we not changing that if this is just about gender? This is about taking obligations away from the state and handing them on to people. And it's about the destruction of the family unit. And you earlier, you mentioned when you were talking about, oh, marriage is a Catholic concept and all of these things. Every religion in the world that I'm aware of has some form of marriage. And in this country, when we were pagan, we had marriage. There has always been, from the very start of Judean Christian tradition, there has always been a family-based...
Well, I think marriage, to be fair, Clarity, it's more than just a religious occasion. If you want to talk about matrimony, of course, that's a religious occasion.
Yeah.
But I think marriage in itself is a state institution to protect... You know, it's for inheritance. It's all, for all sorts of reasons that we have marriage.
Yeah.
I mean, Clarity, Clarity, just stay with me, because thank you, Malachy. I want to go to Joseph. I have two more people to get to before I finish this up as well. Joseph, you've been listening to what Clarity's saying and why she's voting yes, and I want to keep her there to be fair and balanced. So, Joseph, you're voting no. Why are you voting no?
So there's so many red flags about this sort of thing. Even if you didn't know the amendment itself, just the way it's being handled is dangerous. Firstly, it's the government who are putting forward this referendum. Anything the government touch is just a disaster, train wreck. So, you know, I wouldn't trust them to pack a bag. I wouldn't trust them anywhere. So if they're trying to do us, my first reaction is always, no, I'm going to vote against them. Secondly, how they've gone about it is another big red flag. So I think one of your callers mentioned already, there was no talk about it in the Dáil. Usually there'd be a pre-legislative scrutiny. They didn't release the minutes of the interdepartmental meeting where they discussed, okay, what is actually going to happen if there's a yes vote? And I think that's critically important.
They said they'll release that information after the referendum.
After the referendum, when it's a bit late. I mean, that's the type of thing that citizens should know all the details on what the government is thinking and what will happen if they vote yes or no on this. They need to know that information. There's no reason to delay it.
And well, I think we already know. Michael McDougall has made it abundantly clear the implications, the tax implications are certainly there, the inheritance implications, you know, the Succession Act implications. There's a lot of implications to a yes vote.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Like they don't want to admit they themselves recognise this and they're still forcing it through. I think that's a big thing. So there's clearly an ulterior motive here that is not in the interest of the Irish people. And if they knew us, they'd be completely up in arms and no vote would be guaranteed.
Okay, well, let me just put that to clarity. I'm not too sure whether you're following this particular story. There's a lot of cloak and dagger going on at the moment in relation to this, you know, and the scrutiny around this. I mean, and also the wording that was recommended by the Citizens Assembly has been completely ignored. It's been kind of rushed through strategically on International Women's Day, strategically 3 days before a Supreme Court case which involves this particular referendum or this clause in the referendum. So there's a lot of questions being asked as to why.
Yeah, and I think, I go back to what I say, which is that what I originally said, which I think there's a bit of virtue signaling. The fact that every single party, the Green Party initially suggested, as I understand, but every Fianna Gael, Fianna Fáil, all of them have aligned behind it. I think all of this is a virtue signal. This is the difference between the Irish Constitution and how its amendments work versus where I come from, which is that there's no such thing as a popular referendum. I think by doing it this way, it's the politicians sort of exonerating themselves. And I can see how you can twirl your mustache and see, you know, nefarious elements at play of the government expunging itself, exonerating itself from, you know, from its responsibility and the way it came forth and the urgency of it. What I like to think in the more, you know, beneficent sort of way is that we're trying to encourage more unique constellations of family relationships and dynamics reflect the way that actual Irish homes are starting to look more and more and what the state's involvement should be in that. Because as the previous caller said, marriages, you know, obviously they're not just a religious thing. As people have been coupling up forever. That's not new and different. But I think recognizing the fact that families can look a lot of different ways. And what is the government's responsibility in challenging it? I think it's a step in the right direction. So, yes, I can understand why you would see it as concerning, but I think we're moving in the right direction.
Okay, but Joseph, okay, it's a step in the right direction.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely not. It's a step in the wrong direction. And you know that for certain because it's so much easier to take a bad step than a good one. You know, there's 100 ways you can be wrong and only one way you can be right. So, as I said before, if you didn't know anything, if the government was suggesting this is definitely a bad step. Well, here's another thing, Darity. So, we discussed earlier that, you know, marriages predate and, I believe, supersede the Constitution in the state. You can get married in a religious and non-religious ceremony. You can do whatever. Marriage is, to me, a promise to you to provide, to bond, to be with another person for life, ideally. That's the way it is, because that's the best family structure to raise children in. The state has no reason or need to acknowledge that. They could say, like, look, we don't care what you do. It's, you know, marriage isn't a thing for the state to function. But it is basically all states have decided to because they said, okay, look, family unit is really beneficial. We want to support this. We want this to happen because it's a good thing for everyone. So there's no requirement on the state to acknowledge all types of relationships, you know, to make everyone happy. They don't have to do that. They have to look at the clear facts of it and say, okay, which relationships make people happiest? Well, obviously not the ones that falter and fall apart and go to divorce or separation. So couples who are not married, who haven't gone through that process, they have a much, much higher rate of falling apart, of not being a suitable family for raising children.
Okay, we'll let Clarity respond to that. He's come to Eddie. He's been waiting ages. Sorry, go ahead, Clarity. You can respond to that.
Yeah.
There's no obligation on the state to recognize all of those other units.
Yeah. I mean, if I were to go and play my cards a little harder, I would say, why does other than religious beliefs and individual beliefs, why would you need? It's a piece of paper. If you need a piece of paper to keep a family unit together for a long time,
it's a bit more than a piece of paper, isn't it? Really.
It is a concept, but at the end of the day, all the government can do is administer around the piece of paper, right? And so at the end of the day, what is the government's job? The government's job is to align a culture, to protect the integrity of what the culture stands for and ensure its future generations, and then allocate tax resources to that purpose.
Yeah, but let me give you an analogy. Right? When we talk about this piece of paper, it's like, you know, I go and play a round of golf as a guest in a club every day, right? and I pay the guest fees, which are a little bit more expensive than being a member. And so I play my round of golf, but I don't get to vote on things that happen in the golf club because I'm not a member of the golf club. So I sign a piece of paper to be a member of the golf club. Now I have a little bit more importance. And the same, I know that's a strange analogy, but the same goes for marriage, right? You know, you can live with somebody. That's perfectly fine. You can have children. And yes, you should have rights. There should be, you should be legislated for. And we do have civil partnership rights, by the way, in this country. And you do, you can go for redress if you get separated and all that kind of stuff. But if you're married, you know, you are signing a declaration to say, well, you're going to make a better effort to stay together permanently. You know, this is the real deal. You are making a declaration, not before God, but before the state, that you are going to stay with somebody forever. Now, that always isn't the case. Obviously, people get divorced, but you are making a declaration.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is like the opposite. I mean, it took years to get the divorce referendum back in 1995 onto the table. And by, and when the divorce referendum first came out, there was something like 300,000 or there's some X number of hundreds of thousands of individuals who have been waiting to get divorced for decades, you know, in this country. And I see this as the opposite, right, which is that we're allowing family units to look differently. So, for example, I am involved with my godson. I'm very involved in his raising. If I'm going to throw with his mother and father, they're married. I am the caregiver. They die, unfortunately, and untimely. I don't have a biased right to take guardianship of that child over, say, like a grandparent. Mm-hmm. I think this law is moving us, or this change, not law, the change of the Constitution is moving us closer to say that let's be realistic about what these things look like. Grandparents are 80s. She's young and able working and has also been involved in the caring of this child throughout his, their entire life. They should have priority and preferential treatment, and the state is honoring and acknowledging that, and it's using intentionally vague language because they don't know. They don't want to say, you know, if you wanted to talk about all the different constellations of a way a family could look or what the responsibility of the state's going to be, that would take paragraphs and pages to be able to encapsulate all of the potential use cases of how family dynamics will change over time. I have nothing against marriage. I have nothing against long-term partnership. I just think when it comes to how the state should administer its governance around that, it's acknowledging its own weakness in doing so, which is why there's intentionally weak or even feeble language in it, which I agree, it could be better. There's room for opportunity, but the sentiment is the correct one, I think.
Okay, okay, well, stay there. Let me just bring Eddie in as well. Eddie, hi, how are you?
Hey, down, Niall. Most of the speakers there have covered everything I was going to talk about anyway. The only thing, the only issue is, I'm wondering down the road, will domiciliary grants, you know, people get for caring for their sick children at home and stuff like that. Well, they go by the wayside when the government decides, well, you should be looking after your kids anyway. Why should we be paying for them, you know?
Yeah, no, no, I know. And people are, actually, that's what Malachy pointed out, this particular line, this kind of strive to support such provision. And then obviously placing the onus.
Yeah, well, strive only means try. That's try. What strive means. It's just another word for try. Yeah. I was at the meeting yesterday at the Garden of Remembrance, and there was very good speakers there, made fantastic points. And there was one guy turned around and said that, you know, Ronnie Reagan, he quoted Ronnie Reagan. Now, I was not a big fan of Ronnie Reagan anyway, but he turned around.
Anybody
and said
really was, nine, answer,
the, yeah, he turned around and said the nine most dangerous words in the English language were, I'm from the government, I'm here to help. You know, it's quite simply, if the government is pushing for it, you know, you're talking about a government who's the most, probably in the history of the state, the most out of touch, that radically pro European, you know, and everything else. Like, they're pushing all the way down the line, you know, that it's too much too soon what they're doing. Yeah. And, you know, Michael McDowell pointed out that this could open the way under the terms of durable relationship for mass immigration into this country by people who are looking to bring over maybe two or three wives.
Well, at the moment, the current average for family reunification is 12. And they said if this passes, that could extend that to at least double those figures.
Yeah.
Because obviously people can claim that, you know, people back home are in durable relationships.
Yeah, well, I mean, a Muslim man over here can probably, you know, his wives.
But his wives are not recognised under Irish law, now can they claim. But he could claim he's in a durable relationship with those women, yes.
He could, yeah, exactly.
But they're not recognised as wives under Irish law.
I'm on a building site here at the moment. So.
It's okay. It's a bit noisy. All right, Eddie. Eddie, listen, thanks for that. I want to bring Anya in as well, if I can, just before we finish. Anya, hi.
Hi, Niall. How's it going?
Good. You've been listening to Clarity there, and I'm keeping Clarity on for a level of clarity, pardon the pun, obviously because I want to give some level of balance to the yes voters who seem to be very shy coming on the air. But Anya, you're voting no as well.
Yeah, Yeah, I'm absolutely voting no. Niall, I am a stay-at-home mammy. I work one day a week. I'm also a carer to my children with additional needs.
Yeah.
And I'm also advocating for carers because at the end of the day, I was 4 years waiting for one child to be assessed. And he's only getting his appointment next week. I had to go private with my daughter. I have a son who was hearing impaired and also waiting to be assessed for autism. And I just want to say the government don't care about carers. I've done a battle back and forward, writing letters to and fro, you know, just fighting for my children's rights. So it's an absolute joke that NGOs come in claiming that they are for carers because they're so out of touch with real people. And let's remember that they're 96% funded, a lot of these, by the government. So they have the incentive to keep the government happy with the ESFO. And also, I think, to be honest with you, being a stay-at-home mother at the moment, I have the right, say if anything was to ever happen between myself and my husband, at the moment, I am protected by the rights that are in the Constitution, that I will never be forced out of the home through economic necessity.
Are you really protected by those rights? Because let's be honest, although it's nice to have that in the Constitution, I don't think any woman has ever been given enough money over the last 30 or 40 years to stay at home.
There has been a case that went to the Supreme Court, and a woman fought that on that right. Her husband had to continue paying alimony. So I'm just saying, and there are also child benefit is another one that has to be considered. And I just want to say,
but that's
Niall,
separate. Child benefit is separate in the Constitution, but go on.
But it's also automatically paid to mothers. What happens when you remove the mother out of the Constitution? And I just want to say, this whole referendum to me is not about giving rights to anyone else. It's about removing rights from women. And that's what it's really boils down to. You want to remove the woman word and the mother word. And at the end of the day, most women don't want
that. Let me just finally on that note go to clarity on that. Clarity, it's about removing the word woman, removing the word mother. That's not what we should be looking at and should be doing.
I completely agree that the government should absolutely do more for whoever the primary carer is and the primary parent. It's abysmal. I've heard so many stories like hers of the government not, you know, taking
failing.
Years
yeah.
or, you know, failing. Yeah, basically failing and its ineptitude to be able to, in order to support families in this way and provide them the benefits that they actually need and require and that they're entitled to. I don't see this law, I don't see this constitutional amendment as threatening that whatsoever. But imagine if this situation was vice versa and she was in the workplace and her spouse was at home, would the law protect him? I stand, and this is what I advocate for.
And by the way, I advocate for that as well. I advocate for that too, that we should have something in there to protect men or men that stay at home.
Yeah.
But the point Anya is making is, you know, it's the only mention of the word mother in the Constitution. There's three mentions of the word woman, and mm-hmm. both of those other mentions are with woman and man, right? So by woman and man have the right to go to work, et cetera, et cetera. But this is the only individual mention of the word woman and the only mention of the word mother and the recognition of a mother. I mean, that recognition is important. Why would we want to remove it?
It is important, but again, there's also fathers that are not represented in that.
Okay, if you wanted to do that, then why not, you know, add the word father in if that's really what we wanted to do? Why remove the word mother? There seems to be this kind of thing, certainly over the last two or three years that I've noticed, even within the HSE, within everything, just remove the word woman, replace it with pregnant person, pregnant people, all this kind of carry on.
Yeah.
Remove the word woman constantly all the time.
Yeah.
Women have fought for over 100 years for rights.
Absolutely. And I'm a feminist. Like, I identify as a feminist, but I also stand up for the rights of LGBTQ individuals, including those who are gender nonconforming. This is a whole other topic. I don't want to open up a can of worms on your show. But I think what the state's doing is acknowledging that society is changing. And so they are making it as scalable and as longevity. So they put mother and father. And let's
That's
say
fine. We'll include those other people. You can still include those other ones, but why remove the word woman?
Yeah, women, men, and other gender non-conforming people. Yeah, I think that's fine. It's a little wordy, but I think that's fine too. Again, I stand up for the rights of mothers. I really do. And my heart bleeds for you because you definitely need more support than you're getting. But I don't see this particular constitutional amendment as threatening that. But We'll see.
Okay, well, look, thank you very much for the clarity, Anya, Eddie, everybody got involved in the conversation. I appreciate you all joining me in the air today. Thank you very much. The overwhelming majority of people who texted in, by the way, said they were voting no, can I just point out. But again, that's just my show. People know that this. I'm a conservative, so I don't want to. I'm not saying that's scientific in any shape or form. It's entirely up to you how you want to vote on Friday. I'm not going to tell you which way you can vote. Let me see. I'm looking here. We had to turn loads of callers away who wanted to come on the air, all in support of no. Literally hundreds, according to one of my producers downstairs. Rob Jarvis says on WhatsApp, Niall, we haven't gotten our head or voting cards or any info on the vote yet, but my mam got her card. Okay, here's the thing. If you haven't already got your voting or your polling card, you don't need it. Check the register of electors. Make sure your name is there. Go to your local polling centre where you're supposed to go, where you always go, and bring your identification with you. You don't actually need the polling card. I support the defence of an oh no votes as somebody else in the upcoming referendums. That's it comes from me to declare. Full-time mother of nine. Cuevas says, would yes voters on the marriage referendum, me being one, have been happy with a durable relationship status instead? I don't think so, says Cuevas. Geronimo says they know they're wrong, but if they want that money, they just have to do what they're told. Just watching says on X, because they're afraid you'll ask them what a durable relationship is, or even more shocking, what is a woman? Jackie Conboy says for any referendum to happen, the full facts should be on the table. Do the Irish citizens have the full facts? Also, this should be a neutral campaign by the government, but it's not. Is this right or wrong? Tricia says, voting, no, no, no. Ray says, no, this referendum is only being held as a backdoor entry for trans ideology and more immigration. All right, people have their own ideas as to why it's been held. Anyway, listen, thank you very much indeed. I'll be interviewing Michael McNamara, by the way, by the referendum in about an hour's time or so. And I'll put that up on the podcast a little bit later on this evening as well. Or you can get that by going to our website at nileboylan.com because we don't stream everything. Some of the messages, by the way, coming in. Somebody says, Niall, your website is your podcast is unplayable for the past week or more here on X, and your website is just buffers and buffers and doesn't load. Are your upload speeds bandwidth capped per month? Well, firstly, we don't upload it or play it to the website. It's done by Streamcast. And secondly, I've never had any problem with it. And other people are watching it on Twitter and don't seem to have an issue with it. So I suggest that maybe the problem may not be our end, but I'll check it out and make sure. But I don't think the problem is our end, Ken. Loads and loads of people texting in. By the way, don't forget, go to our website, support us, keep supporting us. And you can do that very easily by donating or subscribing on the website. Thank you to one or two people who subscribed over the weekend. I really, really appreciate it. It helps to pay a bill. Please help us to continue to allow you to have a platform. There is no other radio station, a radio show around the country or podcast around the country that's giving you that opportunity like today to come on. We don't vet you. We don't say, oh, you can't come on because you're a no voter. You can't come on because you're a yes voter. We just take them as they come and they come on the air. That's the way it is. There's nowhere else, and we'll give you that opportunity to say whatever it is you want to say. All you got to do is support us by going to our website and subscribing. We don't get paid for doing this, but we do need to pay our costs. So please subscribe. It's $5.99 a month plus tax, which is basically like buying us a cup of coffee between the three of us. Thank you very much indeed for supporting us. And by the way, if you can support us by subscribing, please donate. You can donate 5 or 5 million, whatever you want to donate. And for everybody who donates or subscribes every single day, we have one of these mugs to give away. Yay! You can win one of those mugs every single day. We give one away a day. No, we don't give Trump away, but you can buy him on the website, the Trumpinator. Anyway, listen, thank you very much indeed to everybody. We shall talk to you again tomorrow at the same time. Until then, have a great day.
The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Podcast. Listen live on Facebook, YouTube, and all the usual live stream services. To get in touch, just WhatsApp or text 085-100-2255. The Niall Boylan Podcast. They told me to shut up. Available for download from all your usual platforms.